return to New York State. Indubir Sohi.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So I will be discussing outbreak reporting by hospitals and nursing homes in New York State from 2010 to 2015. And this has nothing to do with SAT scan. So here are the New York State reporting requirements. Facilities licensed under Article 28 of the Public Health Law are required to report any single case of a reportable condition, any increase over baseline incidence of any condition, and any other outbreak or unusual disease. Hospital and nursing homes submit reports electronically for our nosocomial outbreak reporting application, or NORA, and other types of facilities report by fax or phone call to a regional epidemiologist. The Health Commerce System is a secure website used for various public health functions. I will review the three data systems that are used in this analysis, which is shown in this picture. NORA is a statewide electronic data collection system that is linked to healthcare facilities for outbreak reporting. The data collected from each report includes the reporting organization and location information, as well as the sites of infection, the symptom onset date and description, the number of cases, etiology, and laboratory specimen information. For this analysis, hospital and nursing home outbreak data from 2010 to 2015 was downloaded from NORA. Next, the New York State Communications Directory contains information on healthcare personnel roles assigned by facilities. The Communications Directory is used for targeted communication with healthcare personnel and facilities, which includes health advisories, public health messages, and outbreak alerts. Facility assignment of the infection control practitioner role, or IP, is important in order to receive these targeted messages. So in this analysis, June 2014 and January 2016 personnel data for the IP role was analyzed. The Health Facilities Information System provides current information about all New York State healthcare facilities, which includes the facility name, address, and bed count data. Facility information data from November 2016 was analyzed. So this study originated from a major concern about under-reporting of hospital and nursing home healthcare-associated outbreaks. In 2013, a New York State Department of Health intervention aimed at facilities who did not report over a four-year time period or who had no personnel listed in the IP role was initiated. Our staff contacted facilities to educate them on reporting requirements and to emphasize the importance of having someone in the IP role. So this study aims to evaluate trends in facility outbreak reporting before and after initiation of the intervention and to determine if an assigned IP role was associated with improved outbreak reporting. A total of 175 hospitals and 613 nursing homes were included in the analysis. There were 52 exclusions. These were the critical access hospitals, which had 25 or fewer inpatient beds, as well as any other hospital and nursing homes with 25 or fewer beds. In addition, hospitals and nursing homes with greater than 50% psychiatric, chemical dependence, or special use beds were also excluded. In this study, a facility was defined as being non-reporting if it submitted zero NORA reports from 2010 to 2012, which is baseline, or from 2013 to 2015, defined as the intervention period. The following measures were analyzed for NORA outbreak reporting. This was the number of outbreaks reported by hospitals and nursing homes from baseline compared to intervention, and the number of unique hospitals and nursing homes that reported outbreaks from the baseline period compared to intervention. These measures were analyzed for outbreak reporting by presence of personnel listed in the IP role. The percent of hospital and nursing homes that have an IP role assigned in June 2014 compared to January 2016, and the percent of hospital and nursing homes that reported an outbreak with an assigned IP role in January 2016, as compared to those without an assigned IP role. In addition, we looked at the potential impact of influenza season variability, and this was measured by the number of influenza outbreaks reported by hospitals and nursing homes during the study period of 2010 to 2015, and the number of patients hospitalized with laboratory-confirmed influenza that was reported to the health department. Data were analyzed with Excel and FAST 9.3. So in total, there were 616 reports submitted to NOAA during baseline by hospitals and 930 during the intervention period. This was an increase of 51% from baseline to intervention. All hospitals reported at least once during baseline, compared to 75% during intervention. And so there was no change here between the two time periods. Now moving on to nursing homes, there were a total of 2,531 reports submitted to NOAA during baseline, as compared to 3,144 total reports during the intervention period. So this was an increase of 24% in the amount of reports between the two time periods. 85% of all nursing homes reported at least once during baseline, compared to 93% of nursing homes during the intervention period. And this was an increase of 10% in the two time periods. And now discussing the IP role, 95% of hospitals had an IP role assigned in June 2014, compared to 98% in January 2016. This table shows the reporting by hospitals with and without an IP role assigned in January 2016. And Fish's exact test was used, but no significant difference was found. 88% of nursing homes had an IP role assigned to the facility in June 2014, compared with 90% in January 2016. 91% of the nursing homes which reported at least one outbreak to NOAA had an IP role assigned, as compared to 71% which report no outbreaks, as seen in the table. The Pearson chi-square test was used, and the p-value was significant, indicating unequal proportions. We calculated this difference percentage and found that 96% of nursing homes with an assigned IP role reported at least one case to NOAA, compared to 84% of nursing homes with no IP role. The potential impact of influenza season variability was assessed by looking at the percent of all outbreaks, reports attributable to influenza, and the number of influenza hospitalizations by season, which was used as a proxy for the severity of the flu season. This was done by counting the reports which contained influenza etiology, and the flu season time period was defined as October 1 to May 15. And coincidentally, at the same time of a health department intervention, the flu surveillance staff were also contacting hospitals to try to improve flu reporting. And so as you can see in the graph, the percentage for both hospitals and nursing homes decreased during 2011 to 2012, which was also the flu season with the lowest hospitalizations. And then, as seen by the dashed line, and then there was an increase in over time, and by the 2014 to 2015 flu season, over half the reports were influenza-related. And we also see that that's where the patient hospitalizations were at the highest amount. In order to properly assess the impact of the flu season on total hospital nursing home reporting, we created this graph which shows the total number of non-influenza NOAA reports by calendar year, so that it can be compared to the previous two graphs. When non-influenza reports are removed, there's actually a decrease in total hospital nursing home reports from baseline to intervention. There was a large increase in the number of outbreaks reported to NOAA during intervention as compared to baseline. The possible reasons for the increase in outbreak reporting may be fully explained by the increase in the number of influenza-related reports. Another reason could be improved understanding of reporting requirements from facilities, which may be due to the health department intervention. Influenza season was an unexpected confounder in our analysis, and we saw there was no change in the number of unique hospitals that reported from baseline to intervention, but more nursing homes did report during the intervention period. Most hospitals and nursing homes, 98%, 90% respectively, have at least one assigned IP role. A significant difference was found in that nursing homes are more likely to report an outbreak if the IP role is assigned. Facilities which have an assigned IP role may have someone who is more familiar with outbreak reporting requirements. This may be due to the potential impact of the health department intervention efforts. There were some limitations in the study. There's incomplete data on the health department follow-up that was conducted by our staff in terms of how many facilities were contacted or what feedback they received. The earliest IP role data available is from June 2014. It is difficult to obtain retrospective data, but ideally there will be IP role data available for each of the study years. The IP role data doesn't have a date variable. It is possible that some of the IP role data is outdated, such as if an IP is no longer working at the facility. Our recommendations are that the efforts to contact non-reporting facilities be continued. Feedback from IPs regarding reporting should be collected. The effect of changes on flu reports from baseline to intervention was unexpected. Therefore, we plan to continue to analyze reporting in future years. The health department outreach should be targeted. Hospitals which have never reported to NOAA and nursing homes which have only reported a few times should be contacted. An assessment of the barriers to NOAA reporting should be performed, which can be done by a statewide survey to non-reporting facilities. And we also want to encourage facilities to keep the HFIS role data updated. And I would like to acknowledge the following individuals at the health department, including my mentors. So thank you.
I have a question while folks are coming to the mic, and also an observation, right? New York State has very clear requirements, and I think they're even appearing in regulation for outbreak reporting from hospitals and nursing homes. So it's something to think about if you consider the volumes in terms of what Indebeer summarized, right? New York State, large population, but it could give us a sense of what everybody else might be in store for if they were also to institute such clear requirements. Mm-hmm. I guess now that we have folks at the mic, I'll save my question and let Wendy go. No, go ahead.
Hi, Wendy Bamberg from Colorado. Just a quick question, and I'm sorry if I missed this part, but did your outbreaks include influenza and norovirus? Or were those not part of this?
So it included all outbreaks, and the first graphs I showed them were all about reporting, and then we saw that influenza might be having an effect, which is why we removed a non-influenza. But I didn't look at norovirus separately, so I wouldn't be able
not
to
separately.
Answer.
Not separately. Okay, but they were included in the reports. Okay, thank you.
Rich Milk, right? Yeah, that's that norovirus thing that occurred to me as well. I mean, it'd be interesting to see that, another indicator we always have, especially for nursing homes. Are you planning to kind of look prospectively now that, you know, if they bring people into the IP role to look prospectively at those facilities, kind of cohort them for see what happens with the reporting going forward? Is there any plans afoot for that?
Yeah, so I think that would be one part of our plans in terms of seeing do we get more people that are being assigned an IP role. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to do that by just downloading the data and, you know, keeping it organized. And so I think there's something to look at to see if the intervention is still helping, at least with the IP role assignment.
Yeah, and I guess my last kind of little question was, you know, that small percentage. I mean, hospitals, these are acute care hospitals of reasonable size, mm-hmm. and there was 2% of them, right, that did not have any identified IP.
Yes.
What's the background on those guys? I mean,
that's a good question.
I mean, it's kind of a scary thought, you know, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do want to address those issues because 98% is still high, but we have some outliers who may not be familiar with the requirements, and so getting them on board would be important.
And I guess my final question is about CIC, you know, kind of certification, infection control. Mm-hmm. Do you have any data on their kind of those kind of qualifications? Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a person in the role, and of course the question is, what's that person's competencies, and and I don't know if that's something you might be able to, you know, kind of add to this nice forward momentum.
I think we don't have that currently. It's just an infection control and practitioner role assignment, and so we don't know if they're certified or not, but that's a good question to include in the future, I think.
Yeah, I think we're trying to do that. I mean, it's hard to sort this out, but I think that's what we're going to try to do. Yeah, thanks.
One quick question before we let you go is, you mentioned outreach to non-reporters. Have you thought about applying statistics to sort of assess the probability of a non-report, maybe based on the size of the facility and other factors?
So your question is in terms of, like, what's the odds of?
Yeah, of a particular facility not reporting. Might it be because they're small? You know, are there methods that you could apply to come up with sort of observed versus expected?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. We did exclude the small facilities because we know that they might not be as likely to report. And there's some facilities which have a different focus, like psychiatric, which weren't included. And so, but I think that's something that we can investigate further and look into. But
thank you very much.
Thanks.